Good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. Can you imagine what I'm going to say now? It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I say that every week, and I mean that every week. Aren't we lucky that we get to gather together in His name and love on each other, but also come to worship our Lord? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Come as new sight to our blindness. Come as strength to our weakness. Come as rest for the weary. Come as a balm for the soul. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. If y'all would take just a breath with me and invite the Spirit into this place and here among us. So normally, I take a moment in our worship service to remember and honor our brothers and sisters that have moved on from this life to life eternal. And this morning is no different. Today we're going to remember and we're going to celebrate our sister Diane's homegoing. I'm grateful to have gotten to meet her and to know her and to have her in my life. And I know we all are. We've missed her for a little while now, but we know today she is restored, soul, body, and mind, and she is with her Lord, our Lord, and Lord she loved. So we're going to be reminded this morning that last week was not our final goodbye, but we will see her again soon as we sing this next hymn. This was already on my mind, but when Brother Fred sent his email with a sermon topic and the scripture, he suggested we sing this song. So we are going to sing When We All Get to Heaven so that we can be reminded that we have a great day to look forward to when we get to see our Lord. So it's hymn number 650, When We All Get to Heaven, and we're going to sing all four verses. You're welcome to stand with me. You're welcome to remain seated. Let's just worship our Lord this morning together. Victory. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Fred, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We're just giving you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Lord, you've been my rock, and you're definitely my Savior. Lord, be with us today. Help us to glorify Jesus in everything that we do. Lord, we thank you for our country. Lord, we ask your prayers on each and every serviceman, Lord, that's in harm's way today. Lord, as our president said, we thank you for guiding us and being our God in this country. Lord, we just thank you today for freedom. Lord, we're about to celebrate our birthday as a country. And Lord, we're so proud to be an American. And even more so today, Lord, because we stand up for what's right. Lord, be with us. Lord, may your Holy Spirit come and comfort us and strengthen us and challenge us to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Praise be to you, O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty. Let's lift our voices and praise the author of our promises, our eternal rock, our Redeemer, our Majesty. So if you can't tell, we're going to sing Majesty. It's hymn number 122 in the hymnal, and the words will be on the screen. You, again, can stand. You can remain seated. Although I don't know that I can sing this seated. name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Announcements this morning. We have our group that meet on Tuesday mornings for breakfast at the Jack's on Deerfoot Parkway. We will meet this week, I'm assuming. It is there in Trustful at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Wednesday night Bible study. Wednesday night. 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, studying the Book of Acts. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 a.m. here in the Worship Center on Sunday mornings. Our next game night will be Friday, July the 18th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. We have several mission opportunities. We are collecting items for Three Hots and a Cot, the items that their residents typically use on a daily basis. There's a list on the information table and a collection box in the back. Also, for our food pantry, there is a list of items that we give out every month and a collection box in the back as well. Our baby bottles are all up here on the altar. Today, we are collecting them. I'll be taking them off probably this week to Ann's New Life Center in Trustful. Before our service is over today, we are going to end our service today at the altar, praying over the bottles, praying over the lives that are touched. You know, y'all may get tired of me saying this, but at Ann's, I've been there. I know the heart of the director. The best and most, and they do a lot of wonderful things for these young families, but the best thing they do is tell them about Jesus. And they do it unashamedly. We will bless that as we send that off. God knows the lives that are going to be touched. Also, coming up next month in July, Brother Fred and Diane's son, Richard, will be leading a short-term mission trip to Jamaica. Richard is in Jamaica right now, preparing the way for that trip. I got to talk to him a little bit this week, and he let us know that the funds we sent them took care of several people that sponsored their trip, that who really wanted to go but couldn't. So we filled in that gap for them. God filled in that gap for them through us. Amen. So just keep that trip in your prayers for the Lord to be preparing the way for those who will be serving there. We have upper rooms in the back, on the back information table, for you to pick up and use. Our announcements go out in an email on Fridays. You can get added to the email list if you're not already on there. Let Cindy know. Give her your email address in writing. Email the church at clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com, or give her a note or a text. Also, too, with any prayer requests, you can let Cindy know that, too, and she will get them added. We appreciate her sending that out every week. We're going to spend a few moments together in prayer, thanking the Lord for His provision, for what He's done in our lives, for bringing us here together as a family. I'm going to give you all a few moments to have some silent prayer, and then I will close this out. Heavenly Father, Lord, we put our hope in You, our Savior, our God. We lift our eyes to You, our Rock, our Redeemer. We bring before You those listed on our prayer list and those on our hearts. Lord, we ask You to meet these needs. We give You thanks for the ways that You have already moved in these situations. And we give You thanks for what You are going to do. Lord, we wait with expectation to see all the things that You are going to do and You will provide. Lord, may the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, the praise from our lips, the tithes and offerings that we bring, Lord, may they be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, may you take, you multiply, and you use for your kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And all of God's people say, Amen. Amen. No matter our circumstances, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, we have the ability to celebrate our victory. The victory that Jesus gives us because he took our place on that cross. We have victory in the midst of our struggles, of our suffering, of our mourning, of our questioning, what are we doing here? We can still celebrate our victory when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to. He gives us that right. It's his promise that Jesus has gone before us and prepared a place for us in his Father's house. And we will dwell with him there. It's kind of hard to not get excited about that, even if our hearts are brought down, if we're in the darkness. So this morning, let's just be reminded that the battle we currently fight has already been won through the precious blood of Jesus. You took my sign. Worthy is the Lamb. Cindy and I have really enjoyed the sign this year. Worthy is the Lamb. Please join me as we sing Victory in Jesus. It's hymn number 352, and we're going to sing all the verses.
With his redeeming blood.
Victory this morning. Amen. You may be seated.
Many things about tomorrow I don't see. Understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know, oh yes, I know. First, thank you everyone for the love that I have felt this week from all of you. It's what's got me through this week. The reason I can stand here this morning. I want you to turn to Romans 8:28, one of the first scriptures that came to my heart during all that we've experienced over the last week and a half. Romans 8:28. There's a lot of good stuff in here. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. And this is good. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Hallelujah. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I stand here this morning realizing I am nothing without you. But God, with you, everything's possible. Lord, may the words of my mouth be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. God, you're my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I got to confess to you that this morning is difficult. But I felt strongly all week that it was God's will for me to speak to you today. As most of you know, the last 5 months have been full of trauma, been full of disappointment for Diane and me and really our entire family. During those months, Diane was diagnosed with memory loss, a combination of both dementia and Alzheimer's. Then came the diagnosis of normal pressure hydrocephalus. And even being a doctor, I didn't remember what that was, but her ventricles were too big. And so she had to have shunt surgery. And then, if that wasn't enough, while having a CT scan for what we thought might be appendicitis because she kept having lower right quadrant pain, the cancer was discovered throughout her abdomen. Then on Wednesday night, after leaving prayer meeting, Diane was already in bed and when I came from church. I got her something to drink and pulled up my chair by the bed, and we began to talk. She asked about the Bible study, and of course I told her they had a great teacher tonight. And she just laughed and said, well, she was always telling me that you're a legend in your own mind, Fred Grady. Maybe true. Then with no warning, she appeared to have what I thought was a seizure, maybe a stroke, and turned out to be it was an aneurysm. She couldn't talk, and worried about she was going to aspirate, I turned her over on her side and noticed that her pupils were blown. But she went limp. I remembered from all my training that ABC, check the airway first, check for breathing, and you check cardio. My airway was clear, she was breathing, but I couldn't get a pulse. So I began CPR, and paramedics came, and they shocked her heart back in to beating, but it wasn't a good sinus rhythm. Many of you know over the next few days, she coded several times. I think it was a total of 4 times. They had to bring her back. But then on Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, she went to be with the Lord. our entire family has been devastated. It's been hard to think about anything these last few days. And the prospect of preaching a sermon, it was difficult. But I knew I had to do this. I realized that it's the nature of God to speak to us in the language of events in our lives. There's no evading the fact that this morning I'm hurting. And in some respects, you talked about a dark place. I'm in a dark place this morning. But folks, it's not totally black there. Because the light of God, the light of God's Word, is lighting my steps. So, as difficult as it may be, I want to share some things with you today. You're my family. Don't expect some great organized sermon this morning, Brother. Rather, I want you to see me this morning as a member of your family. Burdened, broken, but coming here today to be with family. Be with people that I love and people that I know love me. And I want to share with you some things that God has taught me this week. First thing is, and it may come as a little bit of a surprise to you, I have found no answers this week to the deepest questions of this experience. When I first knew how serious Diane's condition was, I slipped out of the emergency room and went, and my eyes started leaking in disbelief that this was really happening. I cried out to God, and you know what I said, don't you? God, why is this happening? Why to my honey? Why now? We've all had those kind of thoughts and situations, haven't we? You know, back when I used to work at Children's Hospital, I used to wonder, why is all these children sick? Why are they suffering? In a world that's supposed to be the creation of a God that's all good, a God that's all powerful. I cried out, God, where are you? Let my honey live. But I searched the scriptures. I thought about all the scriptures I'd learned all the way back to Vacation Bible School and my Christian experience, and I couldn't come up with any answers as to why. How could a person have an aneurysm and a heart attack within seconds of each other? God, what is going on? Why? But over the week, I found that there's three things that have been tremendous value to me. And I hope that this morning they'll help you through situations like this. One of these is the challenge to go on living, even though there is no answer as to why this horrible, terrible thing happened. There's that word again, why, huh? Why? My thoughts were, this can't be real. I must have just fallen asleep sitting in that chair, and I just need to wake up. God, I'm not ready for this. We were making plans for the future, the success of her surgery. She had her mind back. She was able to walk again. All that had been restored. God, this can't be happening now. But you know, amid all those whys, we sometimes forget God's promises. And we get stuck asking all those questions. That's where I found myself. And I hope that this helps us today. Far too many of our church members here have lost loved ones recently, over this last year. So the first move I made was to stop asking all of those unanswerable questions and instead pick up this old book and look for the promises that God has made to us His children. And that's what led me to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Amen? Then I remembered this little book that I had. A guy who used to be a Baptist preacher that I knew. His name was John Claypool. And John wrote a book called Tracks of a Fella Struggler. John's only daughter had died of leukemia. And these were the sermons that four of them that he preached actually during her illness and after her death. But his little book, I pulled it out again, and it led me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, if you want to look up in your Bible, down at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Here's where I really related. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases their strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Fred, keep putting one foot in front of the other. No matter what our adversity might be, no matter how big your storm is, this promise holds true. He gives power to the faint. And they that wait upon the Lord, He's going to renew their strength. No matter what comes our way, He makes that promise to every one of us who are His children. So the first thing to do when facing that storm is to stop questioning and start holding on and believing in the promises found in His holy word. The second thing I discovered, or at least was reminded of, life is a gift. It's not a possession. We don't own it. We have nothing. We had nothing to do with its creation. And we have no control over it. Not really. Diane was not a possession. She was a gift for a lot of years. Some people have the mistaken idea that they are in control. You know some of those people? But I got news for them. You're not. But life is a gift from God Himself. He breathed into man and we became a living soul. Since it's a gift, enjoy that gift. Treasure that gift every moment you have it. Especially every moment you have those that you love. Now, possessions, you think you control them, don't you? But a gift is something to be treasured. Diane was a very special gift from God. Some of you know the story of how we were sweethearts all through high school. But my parents didn't like her and some of her family. So I was forced to break up with her. I know, I was an idiot. Diane would... Talking about idiot. Diane would ask our granddaughters to complete this sentence. All men are, and they'd chirp up, idiots, you know. And she'd just laugh about that. But then 40 years later, we find each other again. And it was almost like we had never been apart. I'm so glad that I was aware of the precious jewel that God had entrusted to me. And I treasured every moment, every day. I hope you're doing the same thing with the gifts that God entrusts to you. Do you let them know how much you love them? Do you tell them you love them? Some of you know that as a child, neither my dad nor my mother ever told me, I love you. Don't let that happen to your children. Do you say the words? But also, do you demonstrate it in the way you live and treat them? Do you love enough? Let's get back to the promises God gives us. Helps me combat this feeling of loss, the grief that I'm suffering now. I found a scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:9 where Paul said, "My grace is sufficient." That means He's going to meet every need I have. Paul goes on to say, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul even said, "When I'm the weakest, He's the strongest." These words, they really came home to rest in my heart. at times this week I felt like I couldn't breathe. Much less take a step. But God gave me strength. And He continues to give me that strength. I don't know how I'm standing here right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But isn't that a wonderful promise? Life is a gift. It's kind of like the story of footprints in the sand. Remember that story? This guy got disgruntled because he thought God had abandoned him. Lord, look at those steps right there. There's only one set of steps right there. And God said, my child, that was when I was carrying you. Amen? I've been carried a lot this week. You might be asking yourself by this time, how can I be sure that these promises are true? To me, the first and most important reason is because Jesus has been there before. He's walked this earth. He's felt the same emotions that we have felt. Over in Isaiah, he has this to say about what Jesus was experiencing. He said, He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised. And then Isaiah goes on to say, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. All of those have been nailed to the cross. He's been there. He's done it. All for you and for me. So folks, His promises are true. As they say, you can take them to the bank. We can put our trust in Him to see us through the absolute toughest storms that you can imagine. Like the song we sung this morning, you can have victory, not in yourself, in Jesus. 1 John 5:4 says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And he says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. In yourself? Absolutely not. In Christ Jesus. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. There's so many more promises. I titled my sermon this week, No Answers, But Tons of Promises. There's so many. But I just want to remind you of one of the most important promises that we have. God's promise of eternal life. This is not the end. And to me, it's one of the most important promises we have. In Christ Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And He goes to prepare a place for us. And if He goes and prepares that place, He's going to come again. He's going to get us so that we can be with Him forever. Later in that same 14th chapter, Jesus said this, "Because I live, you will live also." We know where our loved ones are. They're not over in some cemetery. They're not stuffed into an urn somewhere. They're with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All you got to do is go back to the cross. Remember, He was standing between those two thieves? He looked over at that thief to His left that told Him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." No waiting. It's just, boom. I know in my heart of hearts that Diane is in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus right now. Her mind is sharp. She has no pain. There's no cancer. Her heart is beating perfectly. She doesn't have that old bad old depression controlling her life so much. Like that song we used to sing at camp meeting, "All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore." What a day, glorious day that will be. She's experienced that. She beat me. And I'm jealous. Folks, if you're born again today, you can believe and trust this promise. You're going to spend eternity with Jesus. But if you're not born again, all this I've said today doesn't apply to you. But it can. You can receive the greatest gift that God could ever give humanity. You can have that today. And that gift is Jesus. I pray that if anyone here today does not know Him as their Savior, you will not leave out these doors without knowing Him today as your Savior. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. I can tell you about that. In fact, you don't even have a guarantee of the next breath or the next heartbeat. So if God calls you home today, or the rapture occurs today, even better, are you ready? Are you ready? We weren't ready for Diane's leaving, but she was ready to meet her Lord. And that's what keeps me going. So today, when storm clouds rise, first, stop questioning. Trust the promises. That's what's going to keep you going. Realize that every loved one you have is a gift from God that He's allowed you to enjoy and treasure. And most importantly, know that if you are a child of God, His children is going to spend eternity with Him. And folks, today, only because He lives can we face all of our tomorrows and the challenges that they might bring. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. And we're going to sing that very song, aren't we?
Please join us as we sing Because He Lives. It's hymn number 256, and the words will be on the screen. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. This altar is always open if you would like to come and pray.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to by my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He
gather around the altar as we pray for the lives that this collection, love offering, will touch.
I don't know if y'all read her obituary, but the kids wrote in it that children and mothers were one of her favorite things to work for and work in. One of the last things she did was work for a mother's center, Save a Life Center. Pray for the women and children that are going to be affected. Pray that Jesus, in this place I know, will be sharing Jesus, introducing some of these people that never have heard about Jesus, who He is. Let's pray. Father, we anoint each of these gifts today. Lord, may Your word of love be shared with each lady and each child that's touched by our giving. Lord, most of all, may they hear the word of Jesus and how He can save them and give them eternal life. Give them a purpose for living. Lord, we all ask this in Jesus' precious name. And together we say, Amen. Amen. Amen.